You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I would like to thank my friend Dre on Twitter, who says, Bergman is so wrong. Venice May stories are exactly for random babble videos and Kobe statue pics.
There you go, Greg.
Do anything you want in stories. It disappears anyway.
Look, man, it's yours. If you want to be silly on yours,
once you post the story, it goes away?
After 24 hours.
Yeah, it's there for 24 hours, then it disappears.
Yeah, but it never really does, right?
I don't know. I guess somebody could screenshot it if they wanted to.
No, it goes away. You can screenshot it, but it's a video. So what is that going to do?
Yeah, what's a good point?
There is an option. I think you could save them. If you like a story, like you could post it to some certain thing and it'll be there forever.
Interesting. But, by the way, is this Paul McCartney?
Yes, it is.
Right? Is this the song that they did?
Like the AI, I think.
The AI version?
Yeah. Oh.
They AI'd the Lennon part of this and they mixed vocal. Crank it up a little bit. See, now do you buy this as a...
Sounds like Lennon.
It's definitely McCartney, too.
I have no issue with it as long as the artist doesn't have an issue with it.
Like, yeah, whoever, Yoko was in on this deal.
Right. If she's in it and she's approved it and his family's behind it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, me too.
If they don't want it, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a 2 o'clock call of the daytime. We were talking about celebrity encounters, and a bunch of them popped onto the phones. Where do you want to start?
Let's go to Eric in L.A. on line two.
Eric, you're on 710. Good afternoon.
All right, guys. So 1979, I was a freshman in Eastern Arizona Junior College. My buddy was playing for Pepperdine Hoops. I come out to visit, and we're driving up PCH, stop at a light, and Johnny Carson walks across the street. And my grandmother, that was the only show as a kid that I got to stay up late to watch. So I'm like, Tony, you got to pull over, man. I got to go get an autograph. He's like, man, I heard Johnny Carson really doesn't like people to approach him like that. I said, I don't care. I only got one shot. Get out, go into the restaurant he was in, and I guess this place that he used to eat at a lot. He's got a newspaper in his hand, and I come up to him, and I said, excuse me, sir, Mr. Carson. I said, my name is Eric Griffin. Obviously, you don't know who I am, but my grandmother is a big, big fan of yours from Detroit, Michigan, and it would mean the world to me if I could get you to sign an autograph for her. He said, young man, I normally don't do this, but you approached me so nice. What's your grandmother's name?
Wow.
I told him, Fannie Louise Williams. He signed it. I gave it to her. She was so happy, and that was one memory I'll never forget.
Oh, my gosh. That's such a great ending. I thought awesome. That story was going a completely different way,
Me
Eric.
Too. I thought it was going to go bad. I'm glad it went well.
Thanks for calling. That was very good.
Did you ever meet Carson?
No, but you did, didn't you?
I know you
met, Peter LaSalle that you worked for at some point
with
in your life?
Peter LaSalle and Tom Snyder, and Johnny Carson was the other side of the room, and this was after he retired. And he...
We heard the story
before,
guys.
I have told the story before. That was me. I was just goofing. I've told this story before.
I didn't press that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard this.
So they go over and talk to Carson because they know Carson, obviously. Yeah. I stay at the table. I'm at the corner table, and I'm just waiting for them to come back from Carson. Peter LaSalle turns to me, waves me over. So I'm like, oh, my God, am I going to meet you? Get up there, and... Peter LaSalle introduces me to Johnny Carson and says, he's going to do the same thing you do. I'm like, I am not going to do the same thing
you can do.
You
can't set the bar higher.
But it was so nice. And it was weird because Carson was, this was after he retired. His hair was real shaggy.
Yeah.
And he had kind of a little pot belly. It's clear that he was like, I'm done.
Right.
I'm done. And nobody ever saw him again except one appearance, right?
He went on Letterman
and didn't say anything.
He came out and like Letterman goes, our first guest is Johnny Carson, and he came out and with like a portable desk and sat it in front of him. He goes,
yep.
Now I feel comfortable. Letterman goes, well, I need to interview you, and I guess he left.
Yeah, he left. Like, exactly.
Yeah. Well, so one of the great stories of all time with this is if you guys like Don Rickles and Frank Sinatra were friends.
Okay.
Like Rickles used to open up for Frank Sinatra a lot. And one of the reasons why they got along is that Rickles did not care. He would tell Sinatra stuff to his face that other people wouldn't, and it would make Frank laugh.
Right.
So one day, they're in Vegas, and Sinatra was as big, maybe the most famous person in the world at that point.
Yep.
And he's having dinner in one corner of the restaurant, and Rickles is in there with his wife and her family, her mom and dad.
Okay.
So Rickles sneaks away for a second and walks over to the table. He goes, Frank. He goes, hey, Don, how's it going? He goes, listen, I normally would never ask you to do this, but I'm having dinner with my wife and her parents.
Okay.
And if and her parents are like your biggest fans.
Right.
If you could just come by the table and say hello, it would make their life. Frank goes, sure, Don. I'll do it as soon as we're done eating. So Don goes, thanks very much. He goes back to the table. And 20 minutes later, Sinatra walks over. He goes, hey, Don. He goes, Frank, we're having dinner here and you're interrupting. Get the hell out of here. And Sinatra thought it was so funny. He just busted up laughing and left.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, he just set him up to fail.
Rickles is not alive anymore, is he?
No, just
he passed
lost
away.
Him.
Yeah, I thought he did.
Just lost him.
Let's do one more. Let's take Fred in Simi Valley. Fred, good afternoon.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Hi, Fred.
Listen, several years ago, I'm going to say in the mid-90s, they had a re-showing of Ben-Hur and at the Alex Theater in Glendale. And I took my wife, and there was practically no room. We were up in the balcony. Then she looks below and sees all these seats down below. So she goes down there, and there's a yellow, like, police tape going across an aisle. And she goes down, and she starts waving me down, and I'm going, oh, Jesus, I'm going to lose our seats. But I go down, and there's a lady sitting there, and I said, are these seats taken? And she said, no, only the ones here at the yellow wire. Everything in front of us is fine. So we get to sit there, and a whole bunch of people followed. Next thing you know, Charlton Heston shows up. And I look behind him, me, and I see him, and I says, honey, that's, you know, we're going to see him in this film today. He's a famous actor. It turns out that it was his wife that I talked to, and at intermission, I got a chance to stand up and shake his hand, say hello to him and all of that, and he was much shorter than I would have ever imagined.
Huh. But that's good that he was nice to you, because a lot of people aren't.
Yeah. I always steal a line from him. I'm like, you'll have to take this microphone from my cold, dead hands. I believe he's the originator of that.
Wasn't he an NRA spokesman?
NRA, and it was like a gun. You'll have to take it from his cold, dead hands.
Right.
Ryan just texted me this story. Snoop Dogg, his blunt roller has come out and done an interview.
Okay.
His blunt roller is somebody named Piranha.
Okay.
He revealed how many joints the rapper smokes per day. So first of all, let's just say, to have a personal blunt roller, that is a luxury item for sure. How many joints do you think Snoop rolls a day? Or I'm sorry, smokes a day?
I'm going to say 20.
Okay. 20 is a good guess. Bergman, what do you think?
40.
40. Brian?
I'm going to go 28.
How does 150 joints a day strike
My
you?
Goodness.
Wow.
It's not just for him.
Well, wait. She revealed the rapper Canada smokes half a pound of marijuana a day. That's 150 joints. Half a pound of marijuana
that's
a day?
Insane.
That's crazy. You're just living high at that point, aren't you?
I mean,
I used to play golf with a guy that was a functioning stoner. That had a joint going at all times.
That's crazy. A joint or a vape?
Joint.
A
like
joint?
An actual joint that he was sharing with others.
Oh, wow.
But he just kept going from the time we started golfing early in the morning, like 6:30 in the morning, the whole round.
You never take a hit off that?
No.
Never?
Because he had like the really good stuff.
Would you golf better or worse if you
had... worse. Well, way worse.
But some people, I think, better.
He played better.
Yeah,
he functioned
well.
Yeah.
All right, so we were talking about, I gave up eating in bed a while back.
Yeah.
For years, I ate in bed.
I know.
So
I thought you were maturing, and you're telling me now you've gone back to it?
I have not, but many millennials are doing it. So I came across a story from the New York Post. It's from a polling site. They surveyed 2,000 adults. Millennials, as a generation, are most likely to tuck it in with a midnight snack, with 40% conceding they eat in bed. 40% eat in bed.
Can't do it.
By the way, and it also shows that 50% of millennials eat something right before going to sleep, whether that be something sweet or that be something savory, salty, whatever that is.
That's what you shouldn't do if you're trying to lose weight. They say if you're trying to lose weight, don't eat anything after 7 o'clock.
Now we have a brand new policy at the house. I found out what the new policy is this morning.
Okay,
which is no desserts at all. Now we
like at any time.
At any time, no desserts. Period. End of story.
This coming
done.
From the guy who used to literally have DoorDash deliver donuts nightly,
and now no desserts at all. Now I've always thought.
I think you may win the bet. What's the bet? He's got to be under 195 by what day?
Did we say the end of the month? I think it was the end.
Yeah, I think
I'm 192 and a half right now, which is bad for me. I try to stay under
192 and a half. You were over. Oh, no, that's about right.
Yeah, it's 192. And my goal is at some
April 1st.
By the end of the year, I want to weigh 180. That's my goal. By the end of the year, 180. But I can get under your number easy. I can get under your number by Monday.
You are under my number now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So I win.
No, we're going to weigh you on April 1st.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Well, April 1st will bring in a scale, and you have to stand on it.
And if it's 195 or over, I win. And if it's under 195, Bergman wins.
When you go to the doctor, and they always weigh you the very first thing, when was the last time you were at the doctor?
2 months ago.
Okay, and they weigh you right away, right?
Yeah.
Do you take your shoes off?
If he asks me to.
Yeah. But what about if somebody just says, get on the scale?
Then I can just get on it.
Oh, see, no, I take my shoes off because I want to put the best number down
all
for
right,
my doctor.
So, Greg,
to see.
For this bet, then I will give you that break. Mason can do it without. He's got to leave his clothes on, but he can take his shoes off because that's a heavy
shoes
side.
Off.
Shoes
yeah.
off.
Okay. Done.
Shoes off, I think, is fair. I think that's fair. All right, tell you what, coming up next. Remember that NFL playoff game that was streamed back in January?
Yeah, they paid $100 million for it.
Get ready. It's going to happen again.
Really? I thought they took so much heat for it, they weren't going to do it again.
Details next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let me tell you about my buddy Jacob Imrani. So, if you... Oh, there you go.
You're good.
If you are injured in any kind of accident, the guy you want on your side... is Jacob. I've been telling you about him for years. A friend of mine, he's been doing this for 25 years in this town. And one of the big things that's going on right now is, you know, you're driving out this weekend, going out for the night or driving out to the desert, down to San Diego, whatever it is. Bam, another car hits you. Bam. You're angry. You get frustrated. You ache a little bit. So what should you do at that point? The easiest thing to do is to call Jacob. Put this number in your phone, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Now, nobody plans on being in an accident, but when it happens, you got to immediately call Jacob. He and his team are available 24-7, so no matter what time of day or night, you can call Jacob from the scene. He and his team will walk you through the process, taking photos of not just the car, but the other car too, getting witness phone numbers, a lot of other tips, so he can strengthen your case. So listen, before heading out this weekend, put Jacob's number in your phone. A lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember...
accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
And don't forget to follow Jacob on Instagram and Facebook. Go to @call.jacob. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
John, you know who this is?
All right, let me hear it. I don't know, but I'll guess.
Okay.
Billie Eilish.
No.
Who
it's
is
actually
it?
Justin Bieber, who turns...
I didn't even get the sex of the person.
It's a very young Bieber. He turns 30 today. This, by the way, is like Bieber from when he's like 15,
like 15,
right?
Bieber, yeah.
Oh, yeah, this was a big hit, this song.
Oh, this was big, yeah.
Bieber is among the probably the most three famous people we ever had in the third chair.
Yeah.
We got a huge...
And you had him when he was like a big deal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was there with Selena Gomez, but he came up. He just kept saying, boom goes the dynamite. Yeah, we actually let
that.
Him call the game.
I love that.
And he goes, shoots from the right side, boom goes the dynamite.
Hey, why don't you do third chair anymore?
Yeah, you should do it.
We might bring it back, but the reason we invented it was that the Lakers were so bad, we wanted to take the... emphasis off of how bad they were and give
right.
people something else to listen to. And now the Lakers are kind of good again.
Yeah, no.
So we don't want to take anything away from the game. But if they go through a season where it looks like they're going to be like the team we played last night, Washington,
right.
that has 9 wins, the third chair will make a triumphant return.
There you go.
There you go.
So,
One last thing for the broadcast last night. I got in my car after halftime and I was listening to you on the way in.
Yeah.
And Michael Thompson was explaining something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but in the middle of it, he just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
I'm debating whether or not I'm actually going to tell you because it will cause you to do some. Do you know the answer to this?
I do know the answer to this.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, no. I think I know.
All right.
He just stopped mid-sentence.
All right.
Does it have to do with sitting on the aisle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, so here's the deal. Michael really likes to sit in the aisle because he's tall and it gives him the maximum leg room.
Right.
So I said, this is a... When, 2 years ago when he went to the aisle, I said, Amanda was still here at the time. And I said, Amanda, I think we should let him sit in the aisle. But the problem is Michael's too nice to tell people to get lost. And people will just walk up to him during the game and strike up a conversation with him, and Michael will take his headphones off and talk to him. Or they'll come up and hand him a bag of chips, and he'll say, thank you.
Thank you.
Or he'll take pictures. I go, we've got to move him in off the rail. And Michael said, no. If you let me sit in the aisle, I promise I won't do that. And for the most part, Greg, he's been pretty good until last night.
Right.
Now,
was that just the one time?
Yeah, and there's actually – it's who it was that I think you might let it slide.
Mm.
It was Bill Sharman's granddaughter.
Come on.
She said, can I take a picture to send to Joyce, Bill's widow? And Michael took off his things. He goes, anything for Joyce, sure. And so he's right in the middle of a sentence. The girl walks up.
Like,
Michael
on.
Turns off his own mic, takes off his headset, takes a picture, and then rejoins the game. Which I said, and I looked at him, and I went, you're going to get kicked out of that chair. He goes, what? It's Bill Sharman, and, you know. So maybe we let this one slip, but if he does it again, I think you have to step in.
Yes. I talked to Funches about it because I heard it, and I sent a text
it was
to Funches, and I was like, "What? Why did that happen?" And he said, I won't say what he said.
You couldn't hear him having a conversation, though, could you? Or could
no, he turned his mic up, but there was dead air.
There was dead air.
He was in the middle of making a point, so I was like looking up a note or something. He just stops talking, and I look over, and he doesn't even have his headset on. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
The funniest part was you can hear Michael Funches in the background going, he's on the air. He's on the air.
Actually, you know
so
what?
Should we move him off the aisle to avoid that from happening?
I'm on team Michael.
He gave me, Funches told me what happened, and I said, okay, this is the strike, but it's only one strike.
Fair. That's fair. We'll tell him. He'll be in here on Monday.
Yeah.
Michael will be in here on Monday. We'll tell him he's got to not do that.
Now, anymore. You've done a couple of games since... your longtime stat man, Doug Mann, passed away.
Yeah,
who's,
it's weird.
Who's now doing your games?
Nobody
and what's
yet.
That like? No?
Yeah, and we don't know if we're going to replace Doug. He's somewhat irreplaceable because he was so good at it. And to be candid, there's very limited space at that table. You've sat at
I've
that
sat
table.
There next,
and you're,
I sat
you're
next
crammed
to Doug.
In like
yeah,
so, so we're debating whether or not we'd rather have the space than the guy.
Mm.
If we can't, before there was no debate because Doug was so good. But now we're debating back and forth.
Oh,
so
got it.
We'll see.
That must be weird. Must be weird.
Yeah, sad.
All right, so this, everybody got all, including me, got very pissed off when there is an NFL playoff game streaming last year on Peacock. And they paid how much? $100
million.
$100 million.
So but now, remember when Amazon took over Thursday nights?
Yes.
Part of their deal was if you ever start streaming playoff games, mm-hmm. we get the right of first refusal.
Right.
So last year when they let Peacock stream a game, that activated the clause in Amazon's contract.
Got it.
So now Amazon's going to pay $125 to do a game next year.
Well, actually, CNBC is saying $150 million.
So even more than that, yeah. $25 million more than I thought.
Yeah.
So what I fear is if they're willing to pay $150 million, and we already know that Peacock's willing to pay $100,
right.
How long is it going to be before all the playoff games are streamed? I mean, you can't turn down that money. There's only 32 owners, so they're each pocketing. They all get the money, so they're each pocketing, what is that, $3-4 million every time we do it? They're not going to walk away from that, are they?
God, it's just...
It's unnecessary because they make so much money.
They make so much money. They make so much money. And now you're basically, it's like a tax on your fans. It's
what
like
I,
you're taxing fans
like
by having to get streaming services to watch playoff games.
It's like my mom and your mom, and they both have significant others now. And,
yep.
and if they want to watch the game, they don't know how to stream.
I mean, yeah.
You can, they'll call us and we'll walk them through it.
Right.
But it's kind of unfair to your older fans.
Yeah. My mom and not stepdad Leo don't even know it. I'll say, hey, have you watched True Detective? Did you get HBO? I don't know if we get HBO.
Yeah, my mom doesn't. I
don't think they know what they have.
She goes, I don't think I get that.
Yeah.
And I went, you do, Mom. I set it
right,
up
and
for
then
you.
I'll go there, and it's like, yes, you do have HBO. So I do have this note, though. This is encouraging. The Super Bowl is apparent. You've always said it's ultimately going to wind up streaming?
I think so, because I think somebody will overpay. They'll give them the proverbial offer they can't refuse.
So it is locked up. Until 2033. The Super Bowl is spoken for till 2033.
On broadcast TV.
On broadcast television,
right,
yeah.
Good.
So that's not going to happen soon. But
so, Bergman, you're still a complete cord cutter, right? You don't have cable. You don't have an over-the-air antenna, right?
Nope.
You wanted to watch Channel 2 News,
yep.
KCBS,
okay.
Could you?
Yeah.
How?
DirecTV Stream.
Oh, you have DirecTV Stream?
Yeah.
So no cable, but you have the DirecTV Stream.
Correct. So you get local.
I can get
local
channels
through that. What do you pay for DirecTV Stream?
I don't know. It comes out of my account.
That's excellent financial awareness.
That's
on your
like
part.
$70.
I need Rocket Mortgage. That's
you're going places, kid.
You need an accountant.
Yeah,
is what
you need somebody to look into that. Yeah. Is what you need. I've actually. Do you watch local? I started watching Alex on Channel 11.
Yeah.
I watch
Great
it
guy.
Most nights. Great guy. And they're doing like super local stuff. I think that's where TV news has got to go. It's got to be super hyper local.
Right. Because I worked at KCBS KCAL for 20 years. I still check them out over there so I can watch my friend Pat Harvey and Jim Hill and all those guys. But I don't watch as much as I used to. Certainly not as much as when I worked in it.
Yeah.
And sports has been minimized a lot in those.
It has been, yeah. I'm not.
Like, does Channel 11 even have a sports anchor now?
Yeah, Kyle Kraska.
Oh, he was in San Diego when I was there.
Yeah, he's the sports guy. But I hardly ever am there for the sports. I mean, I get plenty of the sports. Yeah,
and it's the first thing that gets cut if there's a freeway chase.
I mean, I'm just looking for stories about the graffiti tower. What are we doing about the graffiti tower?
Actually. There is a story that's happening right outside our studios that I'll ask you about next.
Okay.
It's an interesting ethical dilemma.
That's coming up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah! Lakers win last night. They beat Washington. Oh, they had it in the bag all night long. Didn't they, Ireland? That
never
thing,
in
they
doubt.
Sealed up early and Washington, no chance.
Never a doubt.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm to the point after the game, I said, we said to Beto, do you think fans will be happy that they won or mad that they just squeaked by? And he goes, they'll be mad that they just squeaked by. Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah. Take the win.
I'll take a win anyway.
And in
get
context,
it.
They've now won, I think I've got this right, 9 of 12. They've won 9 of their last 12.
Okay, so let me ask you guys something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about this story.
Okay.
8 street vendors, those are people that sell food off their cart,
yeah.
So including some right outside of our studios here at LA Live, were arrested this week for selling alcohol on the street. The alcohol was all seized. Now, part of me understands why the police did it. They're selling without a liquor license. They're not checking IDs.
Right.
But another part of me says, these aren't guys selling kegs. They're selling you a can of Modelo with your burrito or whatever you're buying. They're not selling beer by the case here. So I'm not sure arresting these guys who are just trying to make a living is the way to go. Couldn't you just either A, say, hey, you can't sell alcohol here, seize the alcohol and let them go on with their day, or B, if you want to even be a little more reasonable, you can say you're allowed to sell one can to any consumer. Nobody's getting drunk off of one can.
Right.
I'm just wondering if we should crack down and take all these guys' alcohol and throw them all in jail like is what happened. What do you think?
I don't think this is like you're going to go do hard time.
Right.
But I understand why you can't sell alcohol on the street.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't.
You can't
sell Modelo's out the back of your trunk. I mean,
well, even if you were limited to selling one can.
Yeah. Come on.
You don't want to do it?
Because how do you know they're selling one?
Just how they busted these guys this time. You go in undercover, you say, how many beers can I buy? They say as many as you want. Then you say, okay.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Greg, what do you think? Do these guys deserve to be arrested?
Unfortunately, if you're selling a can, you don't know, like, you're not IDing, so it can go to a 15-year-old, and then you're breaking the law.
Right.
And also, it depends on your body weight. One beer can get somebody drunk. It's not going to get you drunk, but it can get somebody very small or even young drunk.
So therefore,
it's
But I mean, I don't
illegal.
Think they're selling them to kids Riley's age. I mean,
well,
it's
not, but you. But you don't know. So that's the thing.
Brian, what do you think? Arrest these guys or let them be?
I don't think arresting them is necessarily the right course.
But
there's got to be something that's got to be done because, I mean, all these businesses around here, too, are probably the ones that are upset that, sales now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think a guy with his cart selling churros and popsicles is putting Mastro's out of business, right?
No. Popsicles...
It's not about putting them out of business.
I think you should. First of all, let me just point something out. You know how you see all those hot dog vendors?
Yeah.
Everybody's cooking the hot.
Yeah.
Do you realize that they're all part of one syndicate?
No.
Yeah. It's one company that operates all of the hot dog stands that you see.
What I am assuming is that it's just some individual proprietor trying to get by is probably not true.
That lady is working for somebody selling hot dogs, and the cart next to her is working for the same guy in the same.
There you go.
Like a cartel.
Yeah. Maybe that's why.
Exactly. I had a friend. We went to the Kings game, and he didn't tip them, and I said, like, you got to go tip them. That this money doesn't go to them. If you want to actually, the money that they make is maybe they get paid a little bit, but that the tip money, that's what they keep. That's
by
how
the way,
they make
ever
their
since
money.
We brought up tipping the other day, I keep noticing anytime you do anything electronic now, they ask for a tip.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you could be renewing your license at the DMV and they'll ask.
You don't have to give it,
but they ask for
it. Yeah, and you feel like a jackass if you don't.
Well, it just depends what it is. Like, if you're at the DMV, don't tip because they're crazy.
They show you the little screen,
yeah,
and that you can go 10%, 15%, 19%, 0%.
Well, down
you feel
Starbucks
like a jackass.
$1.
Hitting 0%.
Yeah, the Starbucks one's 1, 2, 3. I got a coffee yesterday, small coffee, like $2.50. $1, $2, $3. I'm not going to tip more.
Tip more than what you paid for the thing. Well, you know what's interesting too, Greg, is the restaurants in Manhattan Beach now all have this electronic handheld thing.
Oh, yeah,
so at the end of the meal, you, instead of giving them a credit card and they run back, she just pulls this thing out of her pocket. And then while she's standing in front of me, I have to hit, am I tipping 10, 15, 20, or 25? So I normally tip 20.
Yeah.
But when you're standing right over you, you feel like a real jerk if you don't tip.
Absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely.
So it's all part of a bigger game, I
think.
Oh,
yeah. We live in this crazy tip culture. So, John, it is National Day of Unplugging. It's the longest you could go completely unplugged. No computer, no phone, no internet.
It's a great question. I'm going to say when I went to China with the Lakers, I pretty much unplugged.
Because they were restricting what you could do anyway,
yeah,
right?
Then I got a VPN and was back in the game. But
could you do it for one day? One day.
I was just going to say.
No computer, no phone, no nothing.
Yeah, I can give you a day. But after that one day, I think I'd be a little stir crazy. You could, I think, go longer than me because you have.
I actually have gone longer. Yeah. I've gone a maximum of 4 days with no computer,
my favorite
no
story
phone.
About this is Mason used to always say, I'm zero dark Mason. This is not the one time it happened. So Mason
one time.
Makes a huge deal about it. Goes up and he goes, I'm disconnecting. You can try and call me. You can try and text me. You can try and email me. I will not look at it until next week.
The same story.
Zero dark Mason.
And I said, there's no way. And he goes, I swear, try me. So I tell this story in the air when Ramona is filling in for Mason, and she goes, I just made a fantasy baseball trade with him 10 minutes ago. And so you didn't, you
but
were
I mean,
completely
it was,
lying.
It,
you were basically Kaplan.
I was in contention.
You were just making stuff up.
No, I was in contention in that league that year.
Yeah. So he never went dark at all, Greg.
No, there was zero dark, nothing.
You know what I think? I'm going to drag everybody into this. Have you ever, when you're with your mom.
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself looking at your phone while she's looking at her phone?
I don't think so.
Okay, so this happens all the time. So I'm out to the desert this
weekend.
Normally
when I go to my mom's house, I just throw my phone in the corner and give her my undivided attention.
So coming up on this weekend, I'm going to be out in Palm Desert and see my mom and not stepdad Leo. Now, the last time I was there, it was me, Juan, mom, not stepdad Leo. And we were sitting there together, which is nice, right? Yeah. You all get together.
Was everybody looking at their
everybody phone? Everybody has their own device going on. It's like I'm spending time with my mom and she's playing friggin' Candy Crush. It's like you're not even present for each other anymore. So I think we're going to do that phone stacking thing tomorrow when we get there.
And then
take everybody's phone, stack them up. Now we're going to have a conversation. Now
like
we're going to talk.
Yeah, I like
you
it.
Do it at restaurants. The first person that touches it has to pay the whole bill.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good rule. That's a good rule. Yeah.
First person to reach for their phone has to pay for all of it.
And by the way, I can go for a very long time without my phone. I go up to a camp in Northern California and no Wi-Fi, no nothing. I'm there for weeks and it's great.
For weeks?
I love it.
Weeks? Multiple weeks?
Multiple weeks, yes. And I will go there. I go for a week most years.
Yeah.
But I've gone for 2 weeks, 4 weeks. Yeah, it's great.
So could you do this? My friend Kara, who talks more than me, okay? I mean, she like never stops talking like I don't. I mean, her and I, if you get us at the same dinner, nobody else is talking.
Got it.
She goes to a camp every year, Greg.
Yeah.
Where you're not allowed to speak for a week.
I can't.
You cannot speak to another human. It's a silence camp.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do that?
No, I can't do that.
I don't think I could either.
I've done it for 2 days. I did it for 2 days a number of years back.
Was there any payoff to it?
Well, it was interesting because it was the day, it was December the 30th, December the 31st, and then at midnight you were allowed to talk. So you were silent for 2 days leading up to the new year.
The funny thing is, I'm assuming this was the case with you, at least it is with her. You got to pay a lot of money to go to this camp.
It was not a cheap thing.
So you're paying money to not talk.
Yes.
Couldn't you just do that without paying money?
Now, Bergman, could you do that? Could you do multiple days without talking?
Without by getting paid?
It's like no, like a silent retreat situation.
I mean, if I had to do it and it was something that I was going to go do, yes, I absolutely can.
Yeah.
I go quiet for long periods of time just in general.
Actually, I do too. That's why I don't respond to your text messages after 9
that's
o'clock
a text.
At night.
That's not a
no, but I still
thing.
I don't want to be communicated to. I don't want anybody to communicate with me when it's evening times.
Just turn your phone off then.
No, it doesn't have to be off. Just don't text me. Can I not have, you know, how do you put your silence notifications button on? Carlo.
I know there's a way to do it.
Carlo from our social media.
And then go focus, and then it's now on do not disturb. Nothing comes to you.
And you won't get any text.
That's all you have to do. That's what I'm going to do.
So from now on, when you text me at night, just know I'm not paying attention because my silence notifications thing is on.
Well, look, our group chat, you don't respond. Ireland every once in a while responds. Brian just puts a heart on things.
Like, there's no. I saw it. I liked it.
But, so that means you're the only one chatting.
Yeah, so I stopped because it's worthless. Laura will talk to me every once in a while.
Laura does. Laura will chime in.
Yeah, she's pretty
good. For the most part, nobody talks, so what the hell's the point?
Well, I think we should keep the group chat going.
For what?
For,
let's see. I want to look at it.
For
like,
daytime.
When was the last time?
It's listed as Mason and Ireland show on my phone. Let's see who's actually contributing anything meaningful. And
Laura wrote something on Wednesday at 9:51 a.m. Nobody responded.
What'd she write?
She wrote, oh, man, maybe Mace is right. SportsCenter on Instagram, another gift for Super Bowl champion. It's a Taylor Swift thing. Nobody responded.
I didn't have
that
time
was Wednesday.
To read it. I had no time to read that.
Oh, that's the thing where she was making Pop-Tarts, homemade Pop-Tarts.
Yes, she made homemade Pop-Tarts.
There was one on Tuesday.
Hey, by the way, that could keep her around till June 1st. The homemade Pop-Tarts. I got a fighting chance now.
I came across this nugget. This is one of the reasons.
Mason and I have a bet. I say Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift will still be dating as of June 1st. Mason says they will break up in the next 2 months.
So I came across this.
Actually, the next 3 months.
This note. This is from Travis Kelce's dad. He said, this is when he fell in love with Taylor Swift. The dad did.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something very special I noticed about Taylor the first time I met her. We're sitting in the suite. She gets up, and in the front of the room, she gets up to get a drink or something, and she starts picking up all the empty bottles, cans, plates that are scattered around, because in the suites, everybody gets stuff and empties it down. I'm thinking, I don't think she got the diva memo. She was actually cleaning up the suite for everybody else.
Well, I've told this story before. She, years ago, had a contest with her listeners,
mm-hmm.
and she invited 10 listeners over to her house.
Yep.
And they all slept over, and she made them cookies. Like,
wow.
Like, she didn't have a staff do it. She did it, and she, like, set up the living room to do, like, a big sleepover.
You could do that. You could do a big listener sleepover.
Yeah, if it were any other day. I would consider
the listener sleepover.
I would consider it. How about a jacuzzi party at your house where all the listeners get in?
No jacuzzi party at my house. That's not happening.
We can do it at my house. I have a bigger jacuzzi than
you. You have a jacuzzi. I've got a you've got a hot tub. No, yeah. I've got a hot tub. You've got a jacuzzi.
I've got
that's
an in-ground
the
thing. Yeah.
See, but because you are okay with it. It doesn't make it fun anymore.
Right. It's not fun.
Yeah. Trying to get into Mason's is a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
But you're very nice for allowing everyone in.
Yeah, everybody go.
Anybody
go
wants
to John's
come
house
on by.
If there's any other night.
Mo does too. She says, come on over.
She's all the way out there.
Yeah.
I've never been to Momo's
it's
house.
It's a really nice house.
Is it nice?
It is a really nice
I'm
house.
Waiting for the invite.
She's like in Chatsworth, right?
Is she in Chatsworth?
Yeah.
I think she's out there. I know that, you know what Chatsworth is known for.
Is it porn?
Capital of the world?
Yeah, porn.
Adult film industry capital of the world.
Correct. Yeah, they do a lot of that there.
I don't think there's any of that going on at Momo's.
Van Nuys is also a good spot. Is it not? Van Nuys?
I think so. Blueface lives across the street from her.
That's right.
Oh, that's
right.
Yeah.
Good to know.
All right, coming up next, going to do some What's Up, Fool. Brian's got stuff. Bergman's got stuff. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks, Morales. All right, did you know that the Dynasty came out, the documentary on the Patriots?
Have you guys watched any of these?
No, I have not.
I have not
they
watched
are
I hate the Patriots.
Fantastic.
Okay, I'm
are
glad they? That you said that.
Fantastic. Not good, great.
Okay. What channel? What streaming
Apple.
Service? Apple. Okay.
I'm glad you said that. So, a guy named Michael Hurley, who works for WBZ. It's a CBS station in Boston.
In Boston, right.
In Boston, said that he noticed something in the Dynasty. They took a 2009 Bleacher Report blog and made it look like it was a real newspaper column in the actual documentary.
Mm.
So he's found the original use of the real newspaper and also the original Bleacher Report article. So one of this, there's a Bleacher Report article that says, Matt Cassel proves Tom Brady is a system quarterback. In the show, they created a... They took that article and put it on a newspaper. The real newspaper said, Brady or Bledsoe, no answer yet. So they changed the whole
thing. Completely changed it
for that. Now, does this change your opinion on the Dynasty?
No. Here's the thing that I like
about
it.
It's all fake.
But here's the thing that I like about it.
You can't say it's all fake based on that one thing.
Apparently there's more. I just talked about this one situation, but apparently there's more.
Okay. I think... Jonathan and Robert Kraft are in cahoots with the producers of this thing. Mm-hmm. And I think Ron Howard is one of the producers. And because the Krafts are behind it, everybody is in it. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Belichick, McDaniels, Brady. This last episode last week, Randy Moss shows up. Mm. And Brady is super salty. Belichick's salty. Everybody is. Rodney Harrison just popped into it. One of the guys who works in the Laker PR department, Chris McGean, used to work in PR for the Patriots. And so Chris and I have been talking about how blown away we are at how candid and how good the access is. I can't think of anybody they didn't get. I mean, every time you think, well, that guy would never come on. He had a bad experience. And there he is. He pops right up. Eric Mangini, Josh McDaniels, they're all in it.
Do they talk about the bad stuff? They talk about Deflategate, Spygate?
The whole last episode was Spygate. And Belichick, so here's a great line from it. Kraft went to Belichick and goes, did you do this? He goes, yeah, we did it. He goes, how much of an advantage is it giving you on a scale of 1 to 100? And Belichick goes, Robert, you and I could go sit in the stands right now and look at their signals. All we did was videotape them. All right? We could go sit outside right now at any NFL game and watch these guys signal. We just took pictures of it.
Wait, weren't they at practice and stuff?
No, it was at games.
It was only at games?
Yeah, it was at games.
So he was kind of doing what Michigan does.
Right. And Robert Kraft goes, so how much of his advantage does that give? He goes, well, they can see what we're doing. It's like 1%. He goes, you did all this for 1%? You're a schmuck. He said to Belichick.
Yeah, right.
And Belichick, like, doesn't understand why this is such a big deal because he said anybody could have done this. And then somebody points out, I think it was Armin Katayan, points out to him, yeah, but it says specifically here, after they sent a memo out that said you can't record teams on the sidelines, you guys blatantly did it after the memo came out. You don't understand why that's a problem? Belichick goes, frankly, no, because everybody's doing it out in the open. I think this was – they made a way – so Belichick doesn't think he did anything wrong, but everybody else is killing him.
See, my problem is –
and Brady, by the way, is super candid. He's cussing the whole time. It's great. So I think you guys
– even if I hate the Patriots and I'm so sick of them and hated their run and all that's – I'm going to like this.
I think you will, because the Patriots don't necessarily come off great.
And apparently there's also a story that Brandon Lloyd tells, who was a wide receiver for the Patriots at the time, about Brady snapping at Aaron Hernandez in practice, and Brady screaming at practice, it's not actually, you don't know if it's actually at Aaron Hernandez. He's just yelling in practice. So they're taking some liberties, making it seem what they want.
I got a homework assignment for all you guys. Watch, if you're only going to watch one, you don't have to watch these in order. Watch episode 4, the one where Randy Moss shows up. Here's another great story from it. Randy Moss is in a club with his boys.
Okay.
It's like 10 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Right.
Phone rings.
Mm-hmm.
Randy is Bill Belichick. Randy says, get the F out of here. I'm not an idiot. Hangs up on him. Belichick calls back. Randy, this is Bill Belichick. We have traded for you. And before you hang up, I need you at the facility at 10 o'clock tomorrow or the trade is off. And Belichick hangs up.
Mm.
And Randy Moss looks at his boys and says, boys, we got to get out of here. We're going to Boston right now.
Wow.
And they went up there, and that was the beginning of Moss. And there were games where Brady would say to Moss, look, just the Super Bowl you were at.
Yeah, yeah, people, 2018.
People forget when David Tyree made that great catch and then the Giants
go. Oh, that one, yeah.
The Giants go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots still had a couple of plays to tie it. They just needed to get into field goal range to tie it. And he says to Moss, look, ignore everything in the playbook. Just run right past all those dudes. I'm going to throw it as far as I can. Go get it. Moss goes, got it. Gets into the huddle, and they have a slow-mo of it, and it is off the end of his fingertips, barely, and the Giants hang on. But he almost caught that, or it would have been, that was the undefeated season. They But I think you guys will like it. Watch episode 4, and then next week we'll talk about it. I think you guys will really like
That's
it.
That's a homework assignment.
I'm glad you brought that up, Greg. Greg, you'll like it. It's really good.
And by the way, an artistic license is super common in all documentaries, especially if
That's not a documentary then.
Sure it is. There is artistic license in documentaries.
Then it's not real. The whole point of a documentary is to tell a true story of something.
Well, by the way,
it's your story. It's not to tell the true story.
Know that that's a pointless thing. When Parcells left the Patriots, he left because he didn't like Kraft. I'd never heard that before.
No.
In the doc, he says, well, they took the draft away from me.
Right.
And then I said, and talking specifically about Kraft, Parcells, who Kraft asked to be in the doc, goes, the Krafts don't know anything about football. They're not football people. They're going to do the draft, and I'm going to be left out of that. Screw that. I'm not working for them. I'm leaving.
Right.
And he left. Yeah. Wait, there's a bunch of stuff in there you'll find out you didn't know.
That's pretty cool. But so you're telling me that documentaries aren't real then?
Well, I'm telling you that a lot of documentaries take artistic license.
Documentaries are about a point of view. And it's whose point of view is it? This is clearly Bob Kraft's point of view. Every documentary is point of view.
But this isn't really Kraft friendly. You'll see.
It's not Kraft friendly. It doesn't have him crawling around the floor of a massage parlor, does it?
It hasn't gotten to that point yet.
All right.
Like, if I'm going to watch a documentary on someone, I'm assuming that this is someone or something.
Don't.
It's supposed to be like,
don't assume that.
Then why do so many people, I saw this documentary and it's this. Now I changed my opinion on this.
Well,
if it's
the
fake,
best,
then why
Greg,
am I doing
the
it?
The best documentaries are when they give everybody participating the license to tell the truth. And they have done that here. Now, the stuff you're talking about
is like the Jeter
doc. Semantic stuff is, it could be wrong, but I think you'll find this doc is not, it's not rated G. It's an R. Mm-hmm. And it's good.
Just because they curse, that's not going to make it for me.
It's honest.
But
I mean,
Greg, so what was the Lakers doc that came out last March?
The Hulu doc by Antoine Fuqua was the one produced by Jeannie and Linda. That was the Lakers perspective.
Right. See, now I don't believe
that
one.
They Call Me Magic was Magic
Johnson's
perspective.
That's Magic's point of view.
And Adam McKay's thing, Showtime, was Adam McKay's interpretation
point of view.
Jeff Perlman's book.
Okay, well, that's different, though. Winning Time was not saying there was a documentary.
Correct.
It was a story.
A story.
It was a story.
Narrative story. Yes. Yeah.
And Greg, I appreciated it.
Watch one episode
I know it's not real.
Dynasty. But I think you'll...
by the way, because that
one little wrinkle, you don't believe in it?
There
was multiple. That was just one story that I told you that I saw. There was other... In the comments, there's more of them. Like, this... All I know is that if I'm going to watch a documentary and make an opinion based off of that documentary, I want it to be real.
Don't expect
it to
be real.
There's no point to a documentary then.
They're always about point of view.
Don't watch it. Brian.
I'll watch it. Bergman doesn't believe in documentaries anymore.
Not anymore.
You're done with
documentaries.
They're about point of view.
I feel like when I was 8 years old and I found out wrestling was fake, I never watched again.
Do you ever read an autobiography?
No.
Full of crap.
It probably is.
Because
full
it's
of
that person's perspective.
Because it's their point of view. But if you read a biography, something somebody else wrote about them, that's the one you trust.
Okay, so
don't trust the it's all about point of view.
Okay.
All right.
Then I'll watch the I'll read the biography.
There you go.
Did we do a one topic
No, Brian's got
well there was multiple things.
Brian, what
in
do you
there.
Got? Do one more.
What's that, Phil?
One for you guys here. So I saw the Phillies are going to get rid of their dollar dog and go to buy one, get one for the promotional nights only because the dollar dog, people were throwing hot dogs in the stands.
Mm.
So my question here is, have you guys ever had a food fight?
A food fight?
Oh, I was in a fraternity at UCLA. It would literally, if somebody threw even a roll, like if you did something to me, like you just beat me in basketball and I would take a roll and throw it across the table and hit you, everybody would fly out of the chairs because they knew what was coming next.
Yeah.
And because you had a pledge class, the pledges would all have to clean it up.
The pledges would have to clean it up.
I had to clean up like after like three or four food fights. And it was all, they're great, Brian. They are really fun. But I wouldn't recommend doing it if you don't live in a fraternity.
No, no. In a fraternity house, anything goes. You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, a Good Karma Brandt station. All right.
The hot dog thing was interesting because they said we want to make it more palatable to all consumers. And basically, they're doing it because they can make more money. You know,
well, right. It's a BOGO. Buy one, get one free. Right. Isn't it kind of a wash?
So it's buy two for $5. So it's $2.50 per.
And it used to be buy as many hot dogs as you want for a dollar.
No limit. Yeah.
No limit.
So imagine you get 10 hot dogs.
It's the same
it's
reason
$25.
They finally eliminated dime beer nights. It just got too
hard to control. We had dime beer night at the Toledo Mud Hens. I'm telling you, that was a raucous place. They did it for a bunch of years, and eventually they said sales cut off after the second inning. Dime beer sales end at the second inning.
Yeah, but it's also in Philly, so Philly fans are crazy, and so now that they're not getting their dollar hot dogs. They're going to just throw their free one at this time. They're not going to be upset and throw the $2.50 one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to stop dogs flying.
No.
Absolutely
not. It won't. It's still such a... By the way, that's a really good deal. How much is a dog at Dodger Stadium?
Oh, like $75.
$9 something?
Yeah, something like that.
A Dodger dog is like $9, something like that.
You have to pay for the onions.
Yeah, they charge you for extra for relish. I mean, right. It's crazy napkins. Over there. Yeah.
Oh, no, two napkins. Whew.
Yeah,
no,
napkins lights up. All right, there you have that. There's your What's Up, Fool. Coming up next for you, John, they're finally going to do away with the stupidest thing in the NFL. Do you know what it is?
I have a feeling.
Explain it next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.